More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, excuse me? Are you tired of people making excuses for their bad behavior and disrespectful attitudes? We're going to help you find solutions. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, excuse me, we're talking about people who just won't take responsibility for their bad behavior. Are you in a relationship with someone who always has an excuse for their irresponsible, disrespectful, or even destructive behavior? When you try to help them or correct them or address the problem, do they shift blame, attack you, come up with some set of reasons that always suck you in? I mean, you know they're lame, but you can't figure out how to go over that hurdle, right? How do you deal with people who treat you poorly, but either lack the insight or the empathy to accept that they need to change? The number to call, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Well, there are those people where we know their excuses are lame, but we don't know what to do and how to get past it and how to fix it. They're also the people who kind of convince us that their excuses are pretty good, and we are left feeling kind of powerless, not understanding how they could have convinced us that we were missing the mark or wrong when we know perfectly well what it is that they're doing wrong and we need to have in our relationship.
Or even guilty for trying to bring something up in the first place, right?
Yes.
Isn't that the worst?
Like, how dare we? Because, you know, they just spin our worlds around and we're left walking away, scratching our heads, feeling disempowered, not knowing how to get what we need, not knowing how to do what we believe God's calling us to do, especially for that other person in the relationship, which may mean calling them on to better behavior, a better life, a more real and significant relationship with you, you know, one that's actually walking in truth and goodness. And we just don't know what the heck to do. We're just saying, well, how did they do that? I was ready for this conversation or ready for them this time. And they really made me not feel so ready after all. It can be anything from the people who just make excuses. And we've all had those people in our lives. Heck, sometimes we've been those people, right? When we were growing up and our parents would say something like, you know, you said you were going to take out the garbage. Why didn't you take out the garbage? And we'd be like, oh no, we didn't have enough time. But sometimes when we grow up into that person as an adult, we either have somebody say, hey, this isn't going to work anymore, or our circumstances in life make us grow up and realize that just making excuses doesn't work anymore. But then there are some adults, well, that doesn't happen, then they're still doing that to you. And sometimes gaslighting you about it, sometimes making you feel like you're just out of step with something. And I will be honest, sometimes it is our kids. And we're thinking, I don't want this habit to keep up, but I've tried all these punishments. What do I do? If you have that sense in your life, it's not making you feel respected, feel loved, feel like you can trust the relationship. Let us help you get into a place where you feel like you're your best self and you can call others on to do the same. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. 573-7825.
And once again, the show is titled Excuse Me, as we talk about people who are always making excuses for their bad behavior in general or their poor behavior toward you. If you are tired of dealing with somebody who is disrespectful or who does frustrate you or offend you in some way, but who is resistant to your efforts to try to address those problems. Maybe they deflect blame. They blame you. They go on the attack or the defensive in some way. Or always have really good reasons for why they did what they did. So then you end up feeling like, well, gee, maybe my expectations are out of line here. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. You know, I was talking with a colleague recently who made a good distinction. He talked about the difference between excuses and explanations. And the difference is this, that an explanation is just where you're saying, you know, I was trying to do X. You know, I didn't mean to offend you. I was trying to do X, but I can see where you're coming from, right? So an explanation is just, you're not defending yourself. You're not trying to justify yourself. You're trying to communicate what your intention was so that you and the other person can work together to find a better way to meet that intention in the future. Whereas an excuse is, well, I did this because thus and such and this and that, and therefore I'm right.
Mm.
Do you see the difference?
Or therefore you don't have the right to ask me because I tried.
Yeah. I mean, explanations are fine. It's fine to, you know, to go to somebody and say, hey, you really hurt my feelings, and for them to say to you, gosh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I was trying to do thus and such. They're not justifying their behavior. They're giving you an invitation to work with them to find a better way to do thus and such the next time. But that's different from going to somebody and saying, hey, you hurt my feelings, and having them say, well, that's ridiculous because this and this and this and that, and you shouldn't feel that way, and you shouldn't, you know, how dare you bring this up to me?
Yeah,
and get off my back.
Let's boil it down to what are they really saying? Get off my back. I don't want to change. I don't want to meet your needs.
So there's just a tip to get things started. There is a difference between, you know, an appropriate explanation for behavior and an excuse, which basically deflects blame or throws its responsibility back on you, or just tells you that you're crazy for wanting to address this problem in the first place.
Well, and let's make it clear, just leaves you wanting, and you don't know how to get those needs and wants met with this person. Let's help you get new skills, figure out how to solve these problems in your life, and put you on better footing today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're not aware, the Theology of the Body was St. John Paul's reflection on what it means to be a Christian disciple in the modern world and how we can discover God's plan for living an abundant life and having healthy, holy relationships.
And the Theology of the Body reminds us that building the kingdom of God is actually mostly about doing everything we can do to make our relationships as healthy, holy, and intimate as possible. That means committing to living out the Christian vision of love in all of our relationships. While the world believes that loving someone means putting up with however they decide they want to treat us, the Christian vision of love insists that we have an obligation to always work for the ultimate good of others, and to expect others to work for our ultimate good as well.
Now, because of sin, we often fail in that mission to work for each other's good.
Sure.
And people who say they love each other hurt each other all the time. And when that happens, the loving thing to do is actually to gently challenge each other to do better, to repent of the ways we've betrayed our mission to work for each other's good, and support each other in cooperating with God's grace to do better next time. Now, when somebody refuses to do that, we have a moral obligation that's rooted both in our basic right for self-defense and the call to work for the ultimate good of others to set limits or boundaries that make it more difficult, if not impossible, for the person who hurt us to keep hurting us in the same way again. That's not just protecting ourselves. That's working for their good, because letting them behave in a sinful, destructive way is not good for their soul. So practicing sacrificial love doesn't mean being a doormat or allowing others to treat us in some way that's beneath our dignity as children of God. It means being willing to make the sacrifices necessary to work for each other's ultimate good. even when it's hard or inconvenient or uncomfortable or sometimes costly. Those are the sacrifices that actually lead to our sanctification and call others to healthier, holier lives as well. And that's what we're talking about today on More to Life, on our show titled Excuse Me, as we talk about how to deal with those people who are constantly making excuses for their bad behavior or disrespectful attitudes. We want to help you find solutions. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this opportunity to come into your presence and ask your grace and blessing on all of our relationships, especially our relationships with those people we care about, but who hurt us and are unwilling to take responsibility for their behavior. Lord, help us to know how to work for their good and ours as well. Help us to know when to bear wrongs patiently and when to admonish the sinner. Help us to know how to set boundaries that don't just lead to cutoffs, but lead to real healing in our relationship by making it difficult for the person who hurts us to continue to hurt us in that same way and open up doors for communication that allow us to work better together in the future. Help us to follow your servant St. John Paul's admonition to build your kingdom by making our relationships healthier, stronger, and holier, that we might live in the intimate communion which you created us to live in. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, excuse me? If you're tired of people making excuses for their bad behavior or disrespectful attitudes, we want to help you find solutions. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Lori, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Indiana on Catholic Radio Indiana.
Hi, Lori. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
It should create an escalation.
Yeah. Hey, Lori, you've got us on delay because you're listening to us live. If you can turn it down, we'll be able to hear you.
Amen.
Oh, she's waiting for
that. We're
going
to listen to the prayer, and then we'll bring her back up there eventually. Lori, are you there?
Lori, you with us?
We're going. All right. Well, I can hear us, but we can't hear Lori, so we're going to have to.
Hopefully, she'll come right.
She was talking about. She was calling about her 13-year-old daughter. She has a child with ADHD, and says they're trying to teach their daughter that the ADHD is not an excuse for bad behavior. It's just a challenge that they're struggling with. And of course, that's true. So if Lori joins us here, she can fill in the blanks, but we're going to go ahead and try to address the question based on what we've got here available.
Yeah, we're going to ask the guys in the booth if she starts to talk because she hears us now. We'd love to talk with her, so put her right on.
So the thing here, when I run into this a lot when dealing with ADD or ADHD, you're right. It's not an excuse for bad behavior. It just describes a challenge that a particular person has to focus or to be to have good self-control. I run into people who will say, well, because of my ADHD, I can't, or because of my ADD, I'm not able to. That's not correct. It would be more correct to say, because of my ADD, I have a hard time with, or because of my ADHD, I have to do these things to make up for the fact that it's difficult for me to whatever, right? ADHD is not an excuse for not following through on things or not being focused or responsible. It is an indication that you need additional support to make those things happen. So my comment to you, Lori, would be that you're on the right track, but the other mistake, if you will, that parents can sometimes make in dealing with ADHD is that they just try to tell the kid they need to power through it without giving the kid the structure that's necessary to learn the focus and self-control they need.
Now, this is not something that you can just say, well, stop it, and expect your child to just be able to handle everything at the same level that somebody else without this challenge would handle it. And as we often do on this show, to make it clearer for people, we go back to a physical parallel. All right. So if you had a child who received some kind of physical injury, say twisted an ankle or even broke an ankle, and they were supposed to just go to gym class. Well, you know, you just can power through. It's not an excuse not to do it. Well, what it means is, no, I need training and healing and time to learn how to do this again, even though I've had the surgery, maybe even though the cast is off. It's going to take time to retrain this, and I need a structure around me to be able to show me how to do that, and I need the support from my family around me to help me with those exercises, but also change our life a little bit while I learn how to do things differently. The same is true with any struggle that we deal with, and ADHD and those sorts of diagnoses are definitely among them.
So, you know, a lot of parents kind of take an approach to parenting where it's just, you know, we leave the kid alone until they do something wrong, and then we kind of jump on them and pile on consequences and, you know, make the cost of continuing that behavior so high that they figure out for themselves what else to do. To be honest, that's not a great way to parent in general, but it's absolutely doomed to fail for kids with ADHD. Because they don't have enough impulse control and insight to be able to figure out what else to do. So then that just puts them in a place where they just continue to fail, and that failure piles up on them until they just become even more impulsive and more depressed. So what do you do instead? You know, it's like we're talking about here, creating structure. So let me give you an example of what we mean. Let's say, you know, a kid with ADHD isn't consistently doing their homework, right? And you could say, well, you need to do your homework, and don't use ADHD as an excuse. And that would be accurate, but it doesn't help, because what the kid really needs is a structure for doing their homework at home. So we're going to create, okay, so I see that you're struggling to do your homework, so we're going to create a homework time, and we're going to set you up in the kitchen so, you know, I can be there in case you need me. It's not so I can hover over you and watch you, it's so that I can be there if you need me and kind of help you stay on task. I'm going to make sure to, we're going to go over the assignment beforehand, we're going to go over the assignment afterward to make sure that it's written well. And, you know, I might even sit with you to get you started. And basically the point is, whatever you're trying to get the kid to do, how much support and presence do you need to provide to guarantee their success? And then you back off in time, right? So let's say for the first couple of weeks, you're maybe sitting there doing the homework with her. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, you say, okay, well, I've got you started. Now I'll check back in with you in 10 minutes to see how you're doing. And then, you know, a couple of weeks later, okay, well, you do all these math things first, and then before you move on to English, let's go over it together. And you're backing off bit by bit, giving her more responsibility, but you're creating the structure that enables her brain to develop better focus and self-control and attention. Do you see? So it's not just a matter of saying to her, don't use ADHD as an excuse. It's a matter of saying, okay, we recognize that because you have this, you need additional struggle and structure and support. So let's talk about what level of structure and support you need to guarantee your success, and then we'll back off from that bit by bit. This is an approach that we call discipleship discipline, because it's about teaching her the skills that she's lacking, instead of just sort of saying to her, get over it. We talk more about this approach in both of our parenting books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. Those are the new editions of our classic parenting book, just came out this past year. Check it out at CatholicCounselors.com. If you're interested in learning more about this approach, you can also go to our Facebook group, Catholic HOM Family Discipleship, which talks all about how to create a healthier, holier, more peaceful, and joyful Catholic home. That's Catholic HOM, stands for Households on Mission, on Facebook. You can check that out, as well as our books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. Thank you so much for the call, Lori. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. Today on More to Life, the title of the show, Excuse Me, as we talk about those people who are always making excuses for their bad behavior or their disrespectful treatment of you. And when you try to bring it up, all they do is shift blame or go on the attack or have a million reasons for why they have to do what they're doing and what's wrong with you for even bringing it up. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Tim and Sue Muldoon, who'll be sharing some insights on what we can do to deal with those people who are always making excuses. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
The most original Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
What have you always wanted to know about the Vatican? Well, I'm your Vatican Insider, and I answer that question when I bring you the news about the Pope, Vatican City, and I share insights and stories from a broad spectrum of church ministries.
Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis, Saturday night, 9 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Want a better family life this Lent? Join the Catholic Home 40 Days for Families Challenge.
Lent calls us to do more to share God's love with others, and there's no better place to start than our families, our domestic churches.
Go to CatholicHOM.com and use the promo code AVE for 50% off the first month of your premium membership to Catholic Home. That's Catholic HOM. It stands for Catholic Households on Mission.
Your premium membership to Catholic Home gives you access to all the personalized expert support and creative resources you need to celebrate a more loving, faithful Catholic family life.
Download the premium version of the Catholic HOM app today. Take up the Catholic Home 40 Days for Families Challenge and discover how God wants to transform your family life this Lent for good. Learn more at CatholicHOM.com.
Ave Maria Mutual Funds does not invest in companies engaged in abortion, pornography, embryonic stem cell research, and those making corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Ave Maria Mutual Funds has a zero-tolerance policy that helps ensure investments align with moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds may be contacted at 1-866-AVE-MARIA or online at AveMariaFunds.com, a proud sponsor of Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, the show is titled, Excuse Me, as we talk about those people who are always making excuses for bad behavior. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Tim and Sue Muldoon. Tim is a theologian at Boston College, and Sue is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. Together, they're the authors of several books, including Tim's book, The Ignatian Workout for Lent. Check it out. Hey, guys, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning.
Great to be back with you.
Well, Sue, you wanted to start by sharing a little bit about the idea of holding up a mirror towards somebody else. Well, what do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is sometimes when we think about setting boundaries, we think about it in terms of trying to protect ourselves, like we're making choices that are focused on protecting our own needs. But when we're setting healthy boundaries, we're also saying something back or reflecting something back to the person that we're in relationship with. And what I mean by that is that when we allow someone to treat us in a negative way and we just accept that, part of what we are saying is, I don't expect anything more from you. When we are setting healthy boundaries, we're saying, you know, I love you enough to reflect back to you that you can expect more from yourself, that I want something better for you, and that I want you to understand the impact of what you're doing. And so when we allow people to treat us in a way that's harmful and disempowering to them, we also can kind of shape what they believe about themselves. And, you know, also like what's possible for them. So by setting healthy boundaries, we're reflecting back to them. I love you. I want something better for you. And I want you to understand the impact of the choices you're making. We can't make the choices for them, but we can give them the truth, reflect back the truth. And as you were saying, we can also do things to stand with them and say, I'm going to help you. I'm going to reflect this truth back to you, also to help you to see something better for yourself.
Now, those are really good insights. But let me ask you, Tim, I mean, so what about the spiritual works of mercy, like, you know, bearing wrongs patiently and forgiving willingly and all that? How does that fit into this?
Yeah, well, I think my wife's a very smart lady. She is effectively saying, look, when we are transparent to God's grace, that we allow God's grace to move us in our responses to those who, you know, make bad choices, mistreat us, et cetera. What we're doing them is effectively shining light on their behavior so they see it. I see the spiritual works of mercy as orienting us in that kind of openness to God's grace. So, yeah, you know, it's counseling the doubtful, it's admonishing sinners, it's bearing wrongs patiently, it's forgiving offenses willingly. These are all postures of a person that is not ultimately thrown off kilter by bad behavior, acknowledges that it may be, wrong for them to be doing harmful things, but with a certain, and the word that I used even last week was indifference, that we're not ultimately going to, fly off the handle, but we're going to shine the light of truth so that this person that we love ultimately comes to a deeper insight about the meaning of their behavior.
Well, just very briefly, I mean, what do you think about this distinction? One of the points that we're going to make on the program a little bit later is the idea that, we bear wrongs patiently. For example, if somebody is, habitually trying their best, right, and then they mess up, giving them a little space to self-correct is actually a merciful thing to do instead of pig-piling on them and making it worse. Versus admonishing the sinner is more when we, see somebody who is habitually doing the bad thing, the offensive thing, and they need a gentle reminder that they were meant for more. And so that, that's what we're kind of looking at in determining which spiritual work of mercy is most appropriate in a given situation. I mean, how do you feel about that distinction?
Yeah, I think that's very accurate. And notice that those are, in some sense, opposite movements. One requires a little bit of backing off, and the other requires a little bit more of leaning in and naming something that's wrong. And that's discernment. I mean, it's sometimes moving a little bit one way, and then in another circumstance, moving a little bit the other way. That's a very attentive posture of receptivity to God's grace, which to me is almost the definition of discernment.
Well, and you guys talk a lot about discernment in all of your books, including the Ignatian Workout for Lent. I hope folks will check that out. It's a great resource to go deeper into learning how to discover God's will in this season. Tim and Sue Muldoon, thank you so much for being with us. Always a pleasure to share your insights with our listeners. Hope you have a great day.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.
And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 about those people you care about, but who just are always making excuses for their poor behavior toward you. If you're looking for some answers, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Stick around for more of your questions after the break.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Everything we say in the Mass is directly from Scripture. The opening prayer is the closing words from the deacon. Everything except the homily, which is an actual reflection or is supposed to be on the readings of the day, everything is directly from Scripture. So when people say, well, I never heard the Bible at Mass, and that's why I left the Catholic Church, that's simply factually wrong. They either have not been to a Mass or are not willing to admit just how scripturally sound the Mass is. So I think it's very important to study Scripture. So important, and especially as it relates to the celebration of the Eucharist, right, which is a coming together of a celebration of Thanksgiving. That's what the word means. And there's all kinds of great things you can learn about our relationship with the Lord in the Eucharist and in the Mass by studying Scripture.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
When we speak in the Catholic Church about the communion of the sacraments, what do we mean? According to the Catholic Catechism, the fruit of all the sacraments belongs to all the faithful. The sacraments are the sacred links uniting the faithful to one another and binding them to Jesus Christ, and above all, baptism, the gate by which we enter into the Church. The name communion can be applied to all the sacraments, for they unite us to God, but most especially to the Eucharist, as it is primarily the Eucharist that brings this communion about. In the communion of charisms, the Holy Spirit distributes special and diverse graces among the faithful of every rank in order to build up the Church. The phrase, they had everything in common, means that everything a true Christian has is to be regarded as a good possessed in common with everyone else. Thus, a Christian should be eager to share whenever, wherever, with whomever has a need. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. This is Dr. Greg Popcheck. In a recent study, psychologists studied a virtue long held dear by the Catholic faith, humility. Humility isn't about negative feelings toward yourself. Rather, the study found that humility is comprised of traits such as sincerity, honesty, and thoughtfulness. But a second group of traits revealed something more about humility, that humble people are curious, bright, logical, and aware. Humble people spend time learning from other people. And isn't that what the Church has been teaching all along? that we require community to humbly arrive at holiness. Pride is an obsession with defining one's own path to fulfillment, hoarding one's gifts, and refusing to be open to learning from the experience of others. Humility, then, is the awareness that abundance can only be pursued by cooperating with others, sharing what one has with others, and learning from the experience of others. For more about developing healthy, virtuous habits that benefit your family and community, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Today's show is titled, Excuse Me, as we talk about the people in our lives who always seem to have excuses for their bad behavior or their disrespectful attitudes. And if you're tired of dealing with somebody who is always offending you in some way, but always has a really good explanation for why they have to behave that way and why they can't believe that you'd even bring that up. What's wrong with you that you'd be offended by me being offensive and stuff? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Before we take our next call, we'd just like to congratulate three of our EWTN family members. All of them are celebrating their 11th anniversary this week.
Woo-hoo!
Catholic Spirit Radio in Central Illinois, Good News Catholic Radio in Rio Grande City, Texas, and Sacred Heart Radio in Plainview, Texas. Congratulations from all of us at EWTN Radio for your great work. I'd like to remind all of our listeners, the heroes that our affiliate stations are in your areas, please remember to support them.
Support Catholic Radio in your neck of the woods.
That's right.
877-573-7825. We're taking your calls right now about dealing with those people who just won't stop being offensive and won't take responsibility for it. Let's talk it out.
Let's talk now with David, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri on Catholic Radio Network.
Hey, David. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi there. First off, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I have noticed in myself, and my wife has helped me see that I'm doing this behavior, and I won't stop it.
Okay, good for you. What's that?
I wanted to know what methods I can use to try to put my feelings aside, not get defensive, not try to act like a victim, and validate her feelings, even if I can't see it from her perspective in an argument.
So, you know what? First of all, David, let me congratulate you on your humility.
Amen.
And your willingness to hear this. That this is not an easy thing for anybody to hear, especially guys. And I want to just thank you so much for being willing to have your heart open and hear what your wife is saying to you.
And I think it really proves out that the virtue of humility is actually a representation of great strength. Because to move past our own pride, our own dog in the fight, and be able to say, I want to give to my spouse what they need. I want to be a better person. That's heroic. That's incredibly brave and strong. So thank you, David. I really thank you for your witness to that.
So let me ask you a follow-up question here. Can you give me an example of how this would play out? Like, what would be something that she'd say, and how would you respond to it that's, you know, kind of different than what you want to do?
So an example might be, she might say, like, you always act in this way. And I'll be like, well, no, I'm not always like that. And, you know, I try to change it. And then I'll go on to say, oh, well, when did I do this last? And, you know, and I'll get defensive. And
okay.
I won't want to take responsibility for what I've done, but I know when I think about it later after the situation's calmed down, I know that she was right.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. So there are a couple of things here. I don't know exactly kind of what your wife is saying or how she's putting it, so I'm going to kind of describe sort of two parts to this, okay? Because there's something that she could do to approach you a little differently, but then there's also something you could do that even if she forgets to approach you a little differently. So there's sort of a fail-safe kind of two-sided or two-pronged approach here. Okay.
Now, I want to say the way you two are having these conversations is pretty much the way every couple does at some point, especially, as you said, when things are not calm. But that doesn't mean you can't use better skills and move ahead light years by doing these things.
Yeah, the first thing, and this will be true for both of you, but since you're kind of setting it up this way, we'll just sort of say, if your wife is offended by something that you do, the first thing we want to do when we're offended by anything is not to use that as a call to action, but rather as a call to prayer, right? So usually what happens is, you know, Lisa will say something that hurts my feelings, and I want to just go and say, hey, I can't believe you did that.
Now, I want to say, we do see on the board here that you're not a Catholic person. We're thrilled that you're here, and hearing a call to prayer might be like, oh, well, they're shooting past what my experience is. I can't do that with her. But we can all reach out to God in some way or the other. It doesn't have to be in any particular denomination's way. But just knowing, as you have shown, David, that we're humble enough to know we need help, it's a great time when we're feeling that frustration to reach out and say, God, I need your help here. We need your help here. We want to treat each other better. We want to get through this successfully. Please help. It's as easy as that.
So that's step one, is making sure that when we're offended, the first thing we do is check in with God and say, okay, Lord, you know, help me know how to respond to this in a way that will actually do some good instead of just reacting. You know, and then taking that beat helps give us the grace that we need and also gives our brains a moment to catch up with our emotions. All right. Then step two is to use what's called a soft open instead of a hard open. A hard open is when I come to you and say, David, I can't believe you did this. You always blah, 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 right? And I attack you, basically, as opposed to a soft open, which is, hey, you know, I don't like the way thus and such happened. Could we talk about how we could handle that better? Do you see the difference? You know, I mean, neither one is going to guarantee a better result, but that second way is more of an invitation to change as opposed to an accusation. Right. So if we can remember that when we're dealing with somebody who has offended us, it's helpful to go to them and say, hey, look, you know, I don't love the way this conversation went, or I don't really like the way this thing played out. Could we talk about how to handle that the next time it comes up better? And you know, most people are going to say, well, sure, what's the matter? And then you're having a conversation about it. So those would be the suggestions I would have for both of you, but in this dynamic that you described, for where your wife can maybe make some small changes that would be less likely to provoke you. That
and you
said,
can do it if you ever do that same pattern.
That said, it's not her responsibility to make, you know, to not make you feel defensive. That just decreases the likelihood that you'll become defensive. So, you know, where does that defensiveness come from? A lot of times, especially if we're kind of raised in households that are a little bit more punitive when we're growing up, you know, we feel like we have to defend ourselves, because anytime somebody brings up a problem, we just have this very strong inner reaction that our inner child has, that is afraid that mommy or daddy are going to be mad at us.
Yeah, it's just a pattern that we've developed that our brains have picked up on. We've experienced this. This is the way it could go. That feels frightening.
So you're going to want to take a breath whenever you feel that way, and just sort of reorient yourself back to the fact that you're a grown man, and your wife's not your mom, and it's okay to just sort of be here with her. Okay, and that's number one. Number two, you're going to want to realize that there's a difference between her perception and what she's kind of accusing you of, and what your intention was. And because what's happening is, you know, she's describing how your behavior came across. You're focusing in on what you were trying to do. So when she says, hey, you really hurt me by thus and such, you want to go to, well, that wasn't my intention. That's not what I was trying to do at all. And you try to give an excuse rather than an explanation, like I was defining earlier. An explanation would be just to say, well, honey, I know that you saw it coming off that way. What I was trying to do was thus and such. How could we figure out how to do that better next time? What you do is an excuse, which is, well, I didn't do that. That's not what I meant at all. And how dare you accuse me of this thing? Okay. It doesn't matter what your intention was. It matters how it came across. But you need to let her know what the intention was so that you can then problem solve for how to serve that intention better in the future.
Now, why do we do that? Because we want unity and harmony in our marriages. We want to serve each other and ultimately serve God together. So when we go on the defensive, because as I said, it's happened in our lives before. It feels frightening. What do? We get into a defensive posture. It's just the way we protect ourselves. But when we do that, and as you were put on the board here, our screener said that you said, you know, when you get into that argument, you don't really feel a desire to validate your wife's feelings. Of course not. You're going to feel like you're going to lose ground. That's going to feel scary.
And you feel like you're agreeing with her unfair right. What you feel is an unfair characterization of your intentions.
Exactly. But instead, we have to take that pause, as Greg was saying, ask God for help, and realizing that when validating her feelings of feeling like she can't have a conversation with you, that she's in a one-down position and problem-solving something, that her feelings were hurt, that's not validating and saying, I agree with your assessment of my behavior. It's saying, honey, I love you. I want to hear how you're really feeling and figure out what we can do to solve the problem. It's not saying, I agree with your assessment of me being a jerk. It's, I was trying to do X. How can we work together to solve this? But I really do care about the response that it elicited in you. So you're joining together to solve the problem rather than remaining in that defensive posture while we come by it naturally does nothing for our relationship or to get us to solve the problem.
So we've given you a lot of different things here, but I hope that you'll be able to maybe take some notes and just use the suggestions we've made on the call.
I also
making some changes.
Encourage you to listen to the replay of this, the podcast with your wife, because there were a lot of things said here, and some of them she really needs to cooperate with. So it would help her to know that, A, you are humble and brave enough to call in about this, Dave. You really care about her. You really care about your marriage. If you're listening to this, David's wife, I'm letting you know you've got a stellar husband here. Two, there are things you can both really work on together to make your marriage even better.
Which leads me to my next suggestion, which is in our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, we look at 8 research-based habits that healthy couples practice that any couple can learn. And there's a chapter in there I think will be especially helpful for you, which is called Reviewing and Learning from Mistakes, which basically talks about how we can use our arguments as opportunities to grow closer and learn to do better next time, instead of what most couples do, which is just refight the thing over and over again. So you might want to check out that book. There are several of the skills in there that I think would be helpful, but that chapter in particular will be useful. And the book, again, is called How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. David, thanks so much for the call. And please do listen to the podcast with your wife later and to discuss all of this. You can find that out at AveMariaRadio.net. All right, we have to go to break, but as we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from
Proverbs 26:4.
There you go. There it is.
Answer fools according to their folly, lest they become wise in their own eyes.
Now, this is a really interesting verse.
Answer
fools according to their own folly, lest they become wise in their own eyes. Again, this goes to the whole idea of the need to set boundaries, not just to protect ourselves, but to work for the good of the person who is behaving in an offensive way. You know, we have a tendency to think that setting boundaries is about cutting people off or lashing out or being mean to people in return. It's not about that at all. It's about saying, hey, look, I'm sure you didn't mean this, but that was really hurtful, and we need to talk about how to do better next time. And if they're not willing to talk about how to do better next time, then you have to set some limits on your relationship that prevent next time from happening. And that is actually working for their good as well. It is preventing them, as the scripture says, from becoming wise in their own eyes. So we are talking with you about that and how to handle these sorts of situations in your life where you have somebody that you care about who hurts your feelings but won't take responsibility for it. What do you do? 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
Save the date. Saturday, August 26th is the day, and Birmingham, Alabama is the place for the 2023 EWTN Family Celebration. We're celebrating Mother Angelica's love for the Eucharist, and join us to mark the centennial year of Mother's birth. Make your plans now to attend this free event. More details coming soon at our Family Celebration webpage, EWTN.com/Family Celebration.
So many people get paralyzed when they're ignorant. And it's tragedy because they don't ever fulfill what Christ intended for them. They have to be in motion. Look, even God's not going to steer a parked car. Look, today EWTN is the world's largest religious media apostolate. And I'll tell you, it's easy to forget how it came about. When an institution becomes such a regular part of our lives, we just get the impression that it was always this way. We kind of take it for granted because we don't really walk around with its history. The lesson for all of us here is when you're in the will of God, you don't have to know everything about what you're called to do. What you have to do is move. You have to take the step in front of you. And we see that in the life of Mother Angelica.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, our show is titled, Excuse Me? As we talk about people making excuses for their bad behavior and disrespectful attitudes, give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Susie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Connecticut on Sirius XM 130.
Hey, Susie. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi, thanks. My son and daughter-in-law seem to treat our side of the family as, I said, second-class citizens in relation to how they spend time with her family. And I know that probably sounds a little bit petty, like
What it sounds like is you miss your son and you'd like to have a better relationship with your daughter-in-law. That's what it sounds like to me.
Right. Well, that too, but there have been occasions.
What, two? Okay, I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. Now you're in the hole.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
So what's really going on here?
So occasions in the past where they just don't seem to care about my husband and my feelings or the feelings of their siblings. When
can you give me an example of what you mean? Like that's your interpretation of it. What actually happened?
Right. Here's the one most recent. We've had a tradition for many, many years over the summers to get together as a weekend to just have our family, the siblings and my husband and I and the grandchildren for the weekend during the summer to just have an exclusive just us thing.
It's a wonderful tradition.
Well, we think. And so it's not always the same weekend every summer, which I've been thinking maybe we should do that. So we do just let's get together during the spring or whatever and come up with a date. So we've come up with a date for the summer that works for everybody. And just yesterday, my son emailed us all and said, well, sorry, it's not going to work. We can't do it this year on a particular date because the in-laws want to take our grandkids to a camping trip. So we just feel okay, this was the date that we set for everyone. Everyone said it was a good weekend.
And they had originally said it was a good weekend for them, too?
They agreed this weekend, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what have you said to him about this?
Nothing yet. It was just yesterday. I haven't said anything.
Okay. And in situations like this, how have you tried to address this feeling that they're favoring her family over yours, and how has that gone?
We have not done anything.
Okay.
We just the whole family. The brothers don't say anything. His sister doesn't say anything. We all just kind of let it happen. Like maybe this is what we deserve. I don't know why we don't. That's
okay.
Why
well, because you know we're all afraid of conflict
and we need a bolster if we need to do something.
Yeah. Well, so look, I would start by being you know, charitable, but there's nothing wrong with bringing up your concern. And I would say, listen, I really completely understand, you know, needing to share you with you know, the in-laws. And I think it's great that you're getting time with them and that you like spending time with them. But we really love you guys and miss you, too. And, you know, honestly, we were kind of hurt that when you agreed to do this trip with us and then you kind of backed out of it after we all, you know, said we were going to do it this time. You know, is there any way that, you know, her family could reschedule their trip? Or is there any way that we could, you know, work together to actually get this time that we always get together? Because we really do miss you. And honestly, this is kind of something that comes up a lot. We never say anything because I never really want to put pressure on you about it. But we really do love you, and we really would like to get more of this time with you. How can we work together to do a better job of taking care of our relationship with you?
And Greg, if I may underline here, because you said it, but it really bears bringing out. You said, to use the words, we're really kind of hurt. And that's, of course, what you're feeling, Susie, hurt by this. Most people in dealing with this kind of slight, and it was a slight to you all, would react in anger. And that's never going to get us what we want, because just as we were just speaking with David in our last call, when we react in a defensive posture, not a whole lot gets solved. But if you can say, this is what happened, we had planned this date, we had it written, and you guys chose to do this instead, we're really kind of hurt by this because we love you and we want time with you, instead of, why did you do this? And we feel like you choose them. Do you hear the difference? One's inviting relationship. The other is pushing the other people
away. And be sure that you're saying, and we know you didn't mean to, or we suspect you didn't mean to, right? Because you're not saying, you know, you tried to hurt us. And they may not know, because like you said, you've not brought it up before. You know, you would think that it would be obvious, but maybe it's not.
You may have set a pattern that in their minds is actually saying that you guys aren't very committed to the relationship. That when they adjust schedules or slight you in some way, you don't really care that much. It's fine with mom and dad and the brothers and sisters. They're really easygoing.
I mean, I've seen other situations where, for example, you know, the other side of the family is really kind of difficult. And so the family that's just more accommodating gets the short end of the stick because they never say anything, right? So it doesn't have anything to do with them. It's just that, you know, well, they're easier to get along with, so I'd rather not have the fight.
Yeah, I'd rather not have the fight, so let's just tell them we can't do it. Maybe they'll move it because they've been so easygoing before. I mean, we've only talked to you about the one scenario that you've given us, but no matter what the situation is, the concept of, hey, you probably didn't mean it, but this did really hurt. Because we want a really much better and closer relationship with you, now what can we do about it? Can the in-laws move their thing to another weekend? Because we did have this down in the books. Can we get more time together in other ways? And Susie, you did say something that I think is a really important idea. Maybe you should schedule it a year ahead of time. With the way schedules go now for next year, do that. You all sit down and you come up with what weekend are we going to do this next year so that it's not run over by everything else in the world.
But the big takeaway here is, yes, by all means, you have every right to bring it up as long as you use that soft, open approach that we were talking with Dave about, our previous caller, that idea that we assume that they weren't trying to be offensive, and we just kind of lead with, hey, look, I was really kind of hurt when you did thus and such. I'm sure you didn't mean to. But I'd like to talk about how we could handle this moving forward now. You know, is there a way for, you know, the other grandparents to reschedule their trip? Is there a way for us to get more time with each other? Is there a way for us to make sure that this doesn't happen again? Talk about, you know, that and be solution focused as opposed to trying to convince them that they did the wrong thing and how dare they treat you like this. Because that will not go anywhere.
I'm going to add one more add-on here, which is traditionally in the West, we have a tendency to have closer relationships with our daughters than we do with our sons. So this may be just rolling in the direction of she feels very close to her parents. He had a less close relationship with you. That doesn't mean a not close, just less close. And now it's time to start building up that relationship with them and saying, we really want to have more fun with you, create more great memories with you. We really care about you. So let's make some plans to go in that direction together.
It does sound like your family has some difficulty communicating with each other around these kinds of things. So I'm going to encourage you to pick up a copy of our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It's really about how to bridge the gap, like this sort of a gap, where you feel like there's something you want to talk about, but you're not sure how to bring it up because you don't want to be offensive on the one hand, but on the other hand, you don't want to let it go. So how do you do that in a way that respects those boundaries of your adult kids, but doesn't enable them to just sort of walk all over you? So again, the name of that book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. You can pick that up at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. I hope that these suggestions will get you started. If there's more we can do to support you, either call us back here or check that resource at CatholicCounselors.com. And listeners, if you are struggling in a relationship with somebody who won't take responsibility for their behavior, check out all the resources we have at CatholicCounselors.com, including learning more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com and get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because with His grace, there really is so much more to life. Have a blessed
day. You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.